KGMC FM and HD1, KGMC San Francisco, a radio.com station, 95.7 The Game.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Gravy is in fact a side, not a condiment. I'm gonna start Thanksgiving week out in the appropriate fashion by giving people facts, not fake news. Drolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us on what should be a fantastic week. Mark it down tonight, 5:15 p.m. We are carrying the biggest NFL games of the year as the Rams get set to host the Kansas City Chiefs. Jerry Rice will join us to talk about that and more at 8 o'clock. Chris Haynes on the Warriors at 9:10. We will dive into all things Golden State Warriors related in the next few minutes, but I had to start with this because it was so eerie. So if you think you have control over your life, if you think you're calling the shots, take a listen to this and then tell me if you still feel that way. Yesterday, Washington Redskins quarterback Alex Smith was knocked out of the game by J.J. Watt. He suffered a broken leg, specifically a fractured tibia and fibula. It is the exact same injury to the exact same leg suffered 33 years to the exact same day that Washington Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann suffered when Lawrence Taylor rolled him up. So think about this. 33 years to the day, a Washington Redskins quarterback playing at home in Washington suffers the same injury to the same leg in a game that ends 23-21. Both final scores were the same. Theismann and the Redskins won that day. Smith and the Redskins lost, but the same score, same day. And Joe Theismann was in attendance.
It's crazy. And not just that, a dominant pass rusher, Lawrence Taylor, a dominant pass rusher, J.J. Watt. The only difference is one's black and one's white. It's crazy.
Glad we get the race. Yeah. 602.
Pay the under somehow. Barely pay the under. It is remarkable.
Isn't it,
the coincidences. And you go back to
deeper than that, though, Joe.
As soon as that started surfacing, I had to lead with that today. I just thought that that was, if you think you're in control of your life, think again.
Yeah, and if you're Alex Smith, you got to know in that situation to get out of there, knowing that it's 33 years to the day. You got to know your history, Joe.
Know what you're up against, Smith.
Yeah, in order to avoid repeating. Now, all jokes aside, we hope for the best for Alex Smith. And you mentioned, what, $70 million injury guarantee?
The injury guarantee. He's got another $70 million coming, which should put him up around $200. So not the end of the world, but a gruesome injury nonetheless. I'll tell you what. As we get set for Thanksgiving slate of games, and I've already written all of them up. I know who I'm taking in all of them. Shout out, beat the bookie, 1-6 heading into tonight's game. Good God. Thank you, Michigan, Indiana, for getting there by a nose at the end. I can just see the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. 8-point favorites off another fluky win. There he is, Jerry Jones, celebrating like he won the Super Bowl yesterday in Atlanta off another botch job. I can see them rolling into this game against Washington and Colt McCoy, 8-point favorites. I can see them falling flat on their face. They are totally going to overlook the Redskins in this game. Love the Redskins in the points on Thursday. Just getting that out there now.
I love it. Early Turkey Day locks on a Monday to start things off. That's an interesting matchup because Dallas looks so dominant at times yesterday, running that football behind those two big guys on the right-hand side of that offensive line. But on a short week, you never know. You can throw the records out when Colt McCoy's involved, too.
Jason Carrett, as we like to call him, is 1-7 against the spread on Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
He has covered one spread. It was when he was an interim head coach of the Cowboys, taking over for Wade Phillips in 2010. They have not covered this spread on Thanksgiving in 7 straight years. This is the most built-in home field advantage of any home field advantage. You and the Lions have this game every single year at this time. That is your advantage. You know what comes with it. You know how it plays. And yet somehow, some way, they screw it up almost every single year. So we'll throw that out there. We're going to get to the Warriors about 6:15, but we wanted to do a little NFL roundtable as we get set. Tonight, 5:15 right here on 95.7 The Game, the Rams host the Chiefs. There was a while that we were getting excited for this game where we thought these were the two best teams in football. after what the Saints did yesterday, do we feel as if anyone is better than the New Orleans Saints? Dibs, that's your Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue to ride with him. Oh, Breeze, this is, I tell my son. He's like, who came up with that? I said, I did, son. The old man's still pretty clever, kid. I may be 50 now, but I still got a couple of tricks up the old sleevykins. Now, I love the nickname, and right now, he sure is playing like
Breezes.
The chosen one. He's sharing it. Everybody gets the ball. The running attack's legit. And the defense, by the way, quietly, formidable in its own right.
Philadelphia had no idea what hit them. They had no idea how to stop it. They tried to duck. They tried to bob. They tried to weave. Mm. They tried to punch. They tried to scratch. They tried to fight. Nothing they could do could stop what Drew Brees was putting on them. They couldn't stop him by land. They couldn't stop him by air. They couldn't stop him by ground. It was amazing. Joe, have you ever seen a quarterback that every time he goes back to throw, you're like, who's going to catch it? It's not necessarily, is this going to be an incomplete pass? Think about the connection rate he's able to connect with guys. And his receivers, they climb trees. They jump over mountains. They do everything to catch the ball for him. It's amazing.
When he drops back, you're right. You're right. When he drops back, if they don't complete the pass, if they don't have a successful play, the first thought is, what went wrong there?
Yes!
Now, granted, guys can drop balls. You can be slightly overthrown. Look at Cam Newton yesterday. That cost them the game. Anything can happen. When you watch, for example, teams like the Dolphins play or the Jets, these rookie quarterbacks, it's like any completion, wow, great play. Yes. Actually, maybe they get something going here.
Right.
With the Saints, you're completely befuddled if they don't pick up 12 yards. Here's what the Saints are doing right now. After losing the first game of the season at home to Tampa Bay, they have won 9 straight. They have won those 9 straight by an average. This is the NFL, mind you. By an average of 16 points per game.
They're Alabama in NFL.
16 points per game. And of those 9 wins, 6 of them have been by double digits. They are smashing people right now. They are what gamblers call spot proof. Right? We talk about this all the time. There are spots on the schedule where teams can get caught looking ahead. For example, did anyone watch Ohio State and Michigan this past weekend? Michigan had their hands full with Indiana as 28-point favorites. Ohio State should have lost to Maryland as 17-point favorites.
And let them off the hook.
They did. That game went overtime. And if the kid makes the play on the 2-point conversion, Maryland wins.
Yes.
Both teams were caught looking ahead to the big game. It's natural. There's look-ahead spots, there's letdown spots, which the Bears might suffer on Thursday at Detroit against the Lions. The Saints are spot-proof. They went to Baltimore in an outdoor game that a lot of people like Baltimore. They found a way to win. Following week, they had to go to Minnesota on Sunday Night Football. Just about every NFL team loses in that spot. They win, and they win convincingly. Then they got to come home and play the Rams, and they win that game. Then they got to go out on the road to play Cincinnati. Again, your classic look ahead spot.
Yep.
You've got Philadelphia coming in, the defending champs. You hammer Cincinnati by 40.
Hammer!
And then you come home and throttle
Motorboats.
Total boating.
They are spot proof. They are spot proof. They are the most dangerous team in the NFL.
Yeah, 6 times over 40 points in the game. And I guess that's what makes you spot proof, when you can hang a 40 burger on basically everyone. It's tough to have a spot where you can't excel.
They don't make mistakes. That's the thing about them. That's what's so impressive. They come out, they're always focused, they're always prepared. They don't let the Charger nuance fall in and create these bad situations where they have to dig themselves out. The game against the Rams, it's not even like they were playing poorly. They just were getting outplayed by a really good team early. The other way around. Right. They let them get back in it late, but they still held on.
Do you never not see Drew Brees and
it's
that same organization not go for the juggler? When they're ahead, it doesn't matter. They're still chucking the ball downfield. They are not going to get complacent in play calling. It's all in. Every single play is set up to be a big play. They're all offensive scheme. Their mindset is to put the foot on the pedal. We're not letting up. We get you down. It's like you felt sorry for Philadelphia. So you were like, okay, take Drew Brees out. Third quarter, pull him. Let someone else play. Why is he in there?
Carson Wentz.
And he comes out and still throw the bomb. I mean, it's like, wow.
You can't get outside of your character, because God forbid a team comes roaring back. Or if you start to play conservatively, like you always say, if you're not out there playing 100%, you could get injured. So if you're the Saints, you got to do what you do.
They do it.
And you've only got 45 guys active, so it's not like you can roll in a whole second unit on the offensive side. Some starters have to play no matter what.
Meanwhile, the Browns are thinking about hiring Condoleezza Rice.
What?
you know, as we talk about NFL teams.
Yeah.
That was the report yesterday.
Yeah. That's,
you know, it's funny. People went nuts. She has no football experience. You know, obviously sex has come out and it's like, I can't, a woman can't coach a team. All these reasons. I thought to myself, could she really do that much worse of a job than Hugh Jackson or any other Browns coach of the last 20 years?
I mean, we
really think about it. We said we could coach the team.
Yeah. I mean, Hugh had 3 wins in 2.5 seasons. You're telling me that she couldn't match that or at least maybe even aspire to be as good as.
Shout out, Hugh. Join the Bengals. They lost to Baltimore. If no one saw that coming, I'm sure.
Yeah. How about the running back? Can I call him quarterback or running back? How about the running back?
I like what they're doing.
20 carries. I think he had 20 carries.
Sienna Joe Flacco. That's the offense they're saying that can change the game. Now, so everyone's doing the RPOs and the spread and the quick snap and all that stuff. Jet motion, they're saying this is the counter to that now. This is the new offense that's going to counter that. It's been 5 minutes, so we'll put a bow on that. But keep your eye on what Baltimore's trying to create. It might be the type of thing that buys John Harbaugh another year. So, talk about the NFL. Now we've got to dive into the weekend that was or wasn't, depending on how you slice it. The Golden State Warriors, it's not getting any better anytime soon. Joe Lowe and Dibs with that next here on 95.7 The Game.
The game of the year is tonight. And you can hear it only on 95.7 The Game. The 9-1 Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes to the pylon. Touchdown.
Against the 9-1 Rams.
Todd Gurley dives. Touchdown.
It's Monday Night Football.
Let him go.
Kickoff at 5 p.m. only on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
Biggest NFL game of the season tonight. Chiefs at the Rams. Rams currently a field goal favorite. You can catch that game right here. 95.7 The Game. We'll have it for you when it kicks off at 5:15. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Jerry Rice coming up at 8 o'clock. It'll be great to speak with him. I'm going to want to ask him flat out, what does he think of this Warriors mess? He's a leader. He's seen it all in his career. He's seen it all. He's heard it all. He's talked about it all. What does he think of this, even though it's taking place in another sport? Because right now, things are getting ugly. Here's Steve Kerr after last night's loss to the San Antonio Spurs.
This is the real NBA. We haven't been in the real NBA the last few years. We've been in this dream. And so now we're faced with, you know, real adversity, and we've got to get out of it ourselves.
Texas Road Swing finishes 0-3, outscored by a grand total of 36 points, failing to cover each and every spread. They have missed the spread in each of their last 5 games. Last night's final, San Antonio 104, Golden State 92, now 12-6 on the season. So we broke all this down last week, but again, a lot of it was speculative. We didn't have a lot of games to work with, and then we got the Thursday night game at Houston. We came in and talked about it Friday. We were hoping when we left the air on Friday and parted ways that maybe something would get a little bit better. I don't think anyone was looking for the situation to be resolved in Texas, but Saturday you had a chance against Dallas. You let it get away. Yesterday, another boating at the hands of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes, and another flat performance. And I understand it was, I think, 5 games in 5 cities in 7 nights. It's a tough stretch, without a doubt. But the Warrior team we're used to seeing wouldn't have gone 0-3 on a Texas swing. You had the Houston game with Draymond and KD kind of coexisting in an awkward way, and then Draymond's out with the toe, and KD settling for a lot of early threes, and he's not hitting, and Klay's not hitting, and then if those two guys aren't scoring at an elite level, and you look down the bench, all of a sudden you're trying to lean on Jarebko and Quinn Cook, I'm sorry, but you're going to be in some trouble in this association.
This is a very, very different basketball team when you take Steph and Draymond off the floor. The passing is almost non-existent. There's very little flow. It's a grind out there, is it not?
It really is. And I think you get to see now what everyone's been wondering, how you look at KD and how is he viewed. He's a talent in the NBA, no doubt. An elite talent in the NBA, no doubt. A guy that demands double teams, a guy that's one of the best jump shooters in the game that fall away, put the back to the basket to turn around jumper, usually draws, is usually pretty consistent. It hasn't been necessarily falling. He's a guy that can take over the game, but can he get others involved? And now you're getting to see at what level is KD really viewed. Last week I talked about we can say that this guy's probably better than LeBron. He's probably better than a lot of players out there. But now we get to see what I was talking about, the leader of men. Can he take average guys, like a guy that we know who's in L.A., and watch what he can do and how he can orchestrate and how he can be the conductor and how he can make the music and the symphony still go without necessarily the best people in the band? It's amazing to watch that happen. And before our eyes, we got to see the last couple of days. A dominant player, no doubt. A transcending player, no doubt. But how was he able to get others around? How did they perform when they were playing not necessarily great opponents, but in middle-of-the-road teams? How was KD able to get everyone else around him when your superstars are out? What did we get to see? What did we really get to see? And right now, I think that's what KD should be focused on. I think that's what this team should be focused on. It's like, does he have the ability to make others around him better? Because we know what he can do. But right now, it's not happening.
LT, the super commuter, on hold. LT, the super commuter from Oakland, thanks for the phone call, LT. The floor is yours. Welcome to the program.
What's going on, guys, man? Real quick, just give me some time to steal here. First of all, I told my boys, everybody, I've watched basically every Warrior game for the last probably 4 years straight. I've been a Warrior fan since the Run TMC days. Now, I'll put it like this. I told them if one person could bring this down, that could mess this locker room up, it would be Draymond Green and his mouth. Draymond Green has a problem, man. When he sees red, he sees red. You don't snap at your players like that, man. And let me tell you something. Kevin Durant is a grown man. There are words you don't say. Draymond Green has his street attitude, but he chooses who he goes to the streets with and who he tries to go there with his mouth. He's going to get knocked out one day on the court. He's going to run his mouth and call somebody a B-word, and they're going to flatten his cap right on the court. Kevin Durant, he's from the streets too, man. You know, he's from D.C. You know, he ain't a punk. So there's certain things that you can't say to a grown man.
Right.
Period. And for me, Draymond Green, when he went there calling him all kinds of B-words and all that, he affected this locker room. Okay, the Golden State Warriors, I got to say this. Kevin Durant is in a situation where mentally what this dude said to him is affecting him. You go back to when Latrell Sprewell played for the Warriors, and the Warriors traded Chris Webber, and he snapped and went crazy, and he destroyed that whole season because he didn't like the fact that they got rid of that Chris Webber left.
Hey,
tanked the season.
Hey, hang on a sec. Let me ask you a question. I'm 1,000% agree with you. You can't call a man out of your name. I'm with you. I totally understand that. But if you're a great one, how do you get past this? Because you still got to go to your job, whether you work in the workforce and in one of your workforce. Yeah, you're going to look at him different. You might not get along with him, but you still have to be able to still find a way to get done. And if you're an elite guy, don't you think, how do you get past it?
Well, you know, I think that they will eventually. I think when Steph Curry comes back, I still think that this team will put it together and go on a run and still will win a championship. But I think that you can't have Draymond Green in that locker room next year and think bring Kevin Durant back. That's not going to happen. Because what he did and how he acted, he ruined that relationship. You see family members get into beefs, and sometimes they don't talk for years. You know, and that's just how it is. And a guy went there with him like that on that dude, bringing up his contract. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Draymond Green say, hey, I'm not even going to talk about a contract extension? Well, you basically... it's not as bad as what how KD's been acting, but you pretty much put that out there on blast as well. And I think that
LT, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We're up against it a little bit, so we got to let you go. I'm not cutting you off because I don't like the call. The call's fantastic. In the words of Ron Burgundy, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did.
I was hoping to ease into the Warriors conversation today, and we got right into it here. But that's a great phone call because a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people are looking at Draymond Green thinking, man, you screwed this up for everybody. On the flip side, I think a lot of people are looking at Durant saying, all right, Steph's out, Draymond's out, here you go, get your shots, and no one's going to come to his defense after what they saw in Dallas Saturday night. I mean, the end of that game was a nightmare. Now, very small sample size. That happens at the end of games. But this is kind of that moment where a lot of fans are watching, and a lot of fans are thinking, all right, well, you know, I mean, is Draymond that hurt, or do you think they're putting him down right now, keeping him out of the lineup to keep him away from KD?
I think he's that hurt because he's a guy who's
no conspiracy theory.
No,
here.
No, not this time. I'm always down for a good conspiracy theory, but I think this
really
time
kind of ruined the rest of the show for me. Here.
Well, to be honest, I think the question of whether or not Draymond can coexist in the future is a great question, and I just caution people against trying to run him out because you see how lifeless they play when he's not on the floor.
You're absolutely right. All right, here's what we're gonna do. Anthony Slater, he covers the Warriors. He was in Texas on the road swing. He's going to give you the full scoop on everything that's taking place with this team next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Tonight, 5:15 kickoff. Rams hosting the Chiefs. Rams currently a 3-point favorite. Game of the year. You can hear it here on 95.7 The Game. To the phones we go. He covers the Warriors for The Athletic, part of the 95.7 The Game family in Texas for the road swing. Anthony Slater joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, and as always, thank you for your time. We appreciate you jumping on with us. Not exactly what the fan base was hoping for. Steve Kerr's made it very clear this is going to take some time, but the product on the court looks brutal. The relationships are fractured. I mean, give me a timeline here. How long do you think this situation can be repaired, or are we looking at something far worse than originally anticipated?
I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll start to know once they like get everyone back on the court. I mean, I think that's a big part of this is even if the relationships weren't what they are, especially obviously between Draymond and KD. This would be tough to win games because they're now without Curry and Draymond right now, and particularly Steph. I mean, this team falls off a cliff, especially offensively when Steph's not there. And that's a problem in itself that needs to be repaired. But, you know, it's just the 3-point shooting is way down, attempts and makes, the assists and ball movements way down. The Warriors have always kind of been like this. Their on-court, off-court numbers with Steph there and with Steph not are just so just different, and that's a problem. And so you throw losing into what's already kind of a toxic locker room environment, getting a little bit better by the day just because, I guess, you know, with any situation when time passes, I think it gets a little bit better. But, you know, it's a crunch schedule. They just played 5 games in 7 days in 5 different cities, and they did it without their star point guard. And losing doesn't help things. So I want to see them start to win again. And if the locker room vibe doesn't get better as they're winning, then I think it's concerning.
Is it something that can be fixed with Draymond Green's effort and energy? And I know he's out with the toe right now and no word if he'll be able to play Wednesday or not. But is his energy, given the kind of vitality that leads to wins, which ultimately will fix this internal problem?
Well, I think that'll help, too, because I think he needs to generate some good vibes in the locker room. I don't think it's just with Kevin, either. I mean, I think a lot of his teammates understand that he's kind of the one that brought this on. He's the one that took a sledgehammer to their team chemistry and kind of brought them into this slump. So if he can get out there, especially Wednesday, you know, you kind of mentioned this is a marquee game. It's one of the NBA's, marquee nights of the year, which is the one, you know, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They kind of have the stage. They put 2 big games, which is LeBron's going back to Cleveland is the first game of that doubleheader. And then the second one is the Thunder Warriors. And Kevin Durant likes beating the Thunder. And I don't know if Draymond will be ready, but if he's ready, it would be very good for him to come out, kind of be flying around, have one of those traditional Draymond type really energetic games, just kind of dominate defensively because he just needs to gain some goodwill in this locker room.
Yeah, you mentioned a guy, LeBron, and you watch the Lakers and seeing how one guy can make a team just surge. Isn't KD that type of player that you would like to see, that, you know, that even though you don't have Steph, and we understand Steph's the best 3-point shooter the game's ever seen, but KD is a transcending player, top 3 or 4 players in the NBA. You know, what it seemed to be the holdup? Is it, you think it's mental? Why he's not just necessarily being as dominant as we know he can be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, remember last year when Steph twisted his ankle in
sure.
New Orleans? The 10 games after that, they went 9-1. They had like the best defensive rating in basketball. Remember, Durant was leading the NBA in blocks. That seems so long ago now, but he was, like, getting defensive player of the year buzz because he was legitimately blocking, like, 3-4 shots a game. He was having like, 36, 10, and 8-type performances almost nightly then. But he was in a lot better mental place, it seems. Right now, like especially yesterday, I thought defensively he was completely out of it. He was frustrated after every miss. I think he was 2-10 at one point in the first half. And he was kind of, you know, yelling in the air. And you could tell he was kind of floating back on defense. And then suddenly Rudy Gay's got the ball in the corner and he's closing out late. Rudy Gay's hit threes. I thought DeRozan scored a lot on Durant last night. He's just not there mentally because of a lot of things that are going on off the court here, too. And that lack of engagement has been a problem. He went 1-14 from three on this road trip. And also he's not getting help from another guy who a lot of times maybe skirts away from the criticism just because he's like the fourth, you know, biggest headliner on the team. But Klay Thompson just went 5-27 from three on this road trip. And I think he's shooting like 31-32% from three for the whole season. And that includes that 14-3 game in Chicago. So they have a lot of things going wrong right now.
Anthony Slater with us here on 95.7 The Game. Any updated timeline on when we could see Steph Curry on the court again?
Well, the official reevaluation, I think, is what, about 6 or 7 days from now, which would put him out at least for the Thunder game on Wednesday, the Blazers game on Friday. I think the reevaluation comes Saturday, which is during the back end of a back-to-back. It's the end of that road trip, homestand. So that's the earliest you could possibly see him. I think it'll be pretty soon after that. It seems like he's progressing pretty well. But I would probably expect not to see him until they have a right after that homestand, they have a 5-game East Coast swing against a lot of good teams, including the Raptors and Bucks. And I think at some point on that trip is probably when you'll see him.
Klay Thompson having a little bit of a scuffle this year, aside from the great game from three-point land, he's down around 30%. Is this a byproduct of Steph being out, or is it something more with Klay Thompson's shot or his mechanics?
Both. I think Steph's absence, Steve Curry even mentioned it yesterday, Steph creates so much chaos and obviously takes so many defenders' eyes and takes so many bodies around. And also he gets the team in transition. They play at a much higher pace. And I mean, if you just think about Klay Thompson, so many of his threes come in transition where defenses are scrambled and, you know, they're losing bodies in traffic and suddenly Klay's just he kind of squirts off to the wing and gets one of those quick trigger threes. Those haven't been there. Those are the ones that typically get him in rhythm. And then suddenly he hits one, he'll hit two, he'll hit three really quick. Those sequences haven't been there. More of his threes, especially if you just think about this road trip, they're coming off pin downs that, you know, guys are switching in Houston and they're on his body. Most of them are contested. And that affects his percentage. But at the same time, he's just missing some that, you know, he'll usually hit. I mean, you could have two bodies on him. Typically, if he's taking 27 threes, he's making more than five of them. But right now, he's not. I think the frustration level in this locker room is affecting everyone. That includes Klay Thompson. You can tell he comes out in his press conferences, and I like his confidence about how he's just going to keep jacking. That's how shooters need to be. But you can also tell the struggles, the slump, the locker room vibe, they're kind of getting to him like they're really getting to everyone.
Boogie Cousins, when can we see him, and what kind of impact you think he can have on this, not just on the team, but his presence in the locker room once he's playing?
Yeah, you know, I think right now, man, they can use like that distraction, that storyline. Like if he could play in the next game, that would be really good for this team because we would start talking about him more, and which means we would start talking about what's going on around them less, and I think they could use that, but he's not that close. They had him start scrimmaging, almost a month ago now, probably 3-4 weeks ago, and it doesn't seem like he is progressing that quickly. And the other thing is that they don't have that many practices for him to keep inserting himself. They just played 5 games in 7 days in 5 different cities. You can't then have good, hard practices in between those games. You're flying most nights. You're super tired. Like, they're coming back. They flew back last night to the Bay Area. They're not practicing today. I think we might get a better update on him tomorrow because they're going to have a pretty good practice, their first one in a while in Oakland. And maybe he's doing more, but my guess still is later December, probably into like the 2019 range.
He covers the Warriors for The Athletic, part of the 95.7 The Game family. Anthony Slater with us here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, we always appreciate the time. Travel safe. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
For those of you who want to weigh in but haven't had the opportunity, hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line 957 800-919-3395. Now, if you have any issues whatsoever with what you saw this weekend, Warriors, football, whatever it may be, issues with the world in general, hit us up on the Beef Line, 415-403-8588. Best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30, 415-403-8588. Everyone keeps saying the same thing. When Steph Curry comes back, the situation's going to get better. I'm not so sure about that, especially from a big picture view. We'll explain that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Two programming notes for you. 8 o'clock this morning, the GOAT, Jerry Rice, will swing by for his weekly Monday conversation with your boys, Joe Lowendibs. And tonight at 5:15, we are carrying the NFL Game of the Year, Chiefs at Rams. Rams currently a 3-point favorite. So mark it down, that game right here on 95.7 The Game tonight at 5:15.
Can't wait.
I know. You know what? What did you guys pick in Low versus Dibs for this game?
We both are on the side of the Rams.
And, both the Rams?
Yeah.
Low versus Dibs is an absolute boating this week. I got boated, kid.
You made up some ground. It's going to be interesting. It's getting interesting.
How many?
Three games. You picked up a three spot. And
clearly it was at the forefront of your mind all weekend.
It's all I think about.
You're doing good. You picked up some games. Back in this thing.
Yeah. Had bigger fish to fry. Purdue, bowler up, hammer down. Didn't happen this weekend. So really wasn't in a football mood this weekend, Joe. Really was.
Did you go to that one? Or
no, they need one game to get in a bowl game, Dibs. They got one to go. And
they got Indiana?
Yeah. Don't win it. No bowl this year.
Good letdown spot for Indiana. They gave it all against Michigan and came up short, so they might be a little flat.
I hope you're right, Joe. I'm really looking forward to a bowl game this year for me and the fam. Let's do it.
All right, we're praying for you.
Okay, thank you.
We're rooting for you.
Thank you so much.
We always support. We're very big Purdue fans around here. That means a lot because I'm from the Big Ten.
You are.
And yet I still root for Purdue.
You do, Joe, and I appreciate it.
And I did tell you last year that he would come out here for the bowl game, and that's exactly what happened, as you recall.
Well, give me something good then.
But you get a win over Indiana, and I'll see what I can do to see if we can't get a return visit for Boiler Nation.
I appreciate that very much.
All right. People helping people. That's what this show's all about, really at its core. Really, really at its core. Just, you know, as we ignore that conversation from Thursday from 9:30 to 10, where we just went wild on each other.
Yeah, we did.
We have, for a week now, been saying, you know what? It's all going to be fine when Steph comes back. It might not be great long term, but it's going to be fine. Steph's going to come back. He's going to galvanize the team. The offense is going to look better. And by all accounts, that's probably right. But here's what I worry about. And I've been thinking about this because as we keep talking about the rift between Durant and Draymond, Durant and the team, Durant in the future, all that stuff. And you keep hearing about Durant's a sensitive guy. You know, you got to talk to him a certain way, handle things differently. If this thing runs ice cold, right? They've already lost three in a row. They got boated on this Texas swing, outscored by a grand total of 36 points. If this continues, and I'm not saying they lose them all, but say Steph's out another five games. Let's just throw a number out there. And during that stretch, the Warriors go 2-3, 1-4, and they don't look impressive. And then Steph comes back. Fans go nuts. Offense looks good. Steph's hitting his threes. People are having fun. Teams winning games. How does Durant respond to that? Because at that point, most people around the country are going to look at that and go, you see, Steph's team. Steph's the most important player on this team. Steph's the most valuable player on this team. Durant's a good player. Durant's a superb talent. But Durant's not a leader. Durant's not the guy that rallies a team at Steph. Steph makes the offense go. The greatest team, one of the greatest teams in NBA history is because of Steph, not Durant. Durant's a great piece, had a great run in the playoffs, won a couple NBA finals, but Steph's the guy. How's that going to resonate with Durant? Because when we talk about sensitivity and we talk about all these issues that are creeping to the forefront, Steph coming back to make things better, sure. For us, the fans, for the win column, sure. We'll all enjoy it. But how's Durant going to respond to that? Because if Steph comes back and makes this thing right, you know that's going to be the talking point nationally. And you know Durant reads that stuff. That could be a big problem.
It is going to be a big problem, and the numbers don't lie. In Anthony Slater's piece, he points out that in the 399 minutes with Steph, they're plus 118. In the 470 minutes without Steph, they're a minus 8. So they're 126 points better when Steph's on the floor. And I believe KD has played in every game this year. And you look at what he did on this road trip, 1 of 17 from three-point land, all those games without Steph, and I included the Atlanta win in there as well. But you see a perfect opportunity for him to step up, to show he's the key to this team, to be the leader. And what you got was an 0-3 Texas road trip where he didn't play disinterested, but he definitely was flat and ineffective.
Like if he can't, he doesn't need to carry the team, but if they're going to play really poorly on his watch, Steph comes back, changes the whole thing. What's the narrative nationally? And is KD going to be okay with that? because he's supposed to be the guy. So to find out that the team's Draymond says what he says, fractures everything, and then everyone gets excited when Steph comes back. I can't imagine a guy who's sensitive is going to respond well to that.
I don't know if he has to respond well. I think that what it will create is who KD really is. And in those moments, KD's great. When he has the band together and he has other alpha dogs or have other players that are around him that can take a lot of the pressure, KD's great. Because then it's not about him. And so I think it's great when Steph comes back because Steph can alleviate a lot of the things. And KD understands. KD now, he's understanding, God, my team is depending on me. And how am I coming up? And how am I playing right now? KD sees this. It's obvious, Joe. And trust me, Klay Thompson's feeling the crunch too because you have two superstars, two great guys on your team right now, and they're not getting it done. This is a big two. These two guys should be able to do more than what they're able to do than what they're doing. And so now when you're saying, how is it going to be when Steph gets back? I think it takes a lot of pressure off of KD. I think it makes KD now become more, I think he'll play better because right now he's pushing. He knows the narrative. He knows Draymond's not playing. He knows Steph's not playing. And right now he's trying to take over and he's trying to make it about him. Last year when the same incident happened, they went 9-1 with KD at the helm. Why? Because it's a different circumstance because he's been cut so deep psychologically and mentally. It's not physical. It's above the shoulders. That has affected him. So you do need a guy like Steph to come in and take the load off and then he can just work back in. But right now he's not in a good place and it's showing up. It's showing up in his play. It's showing up in the way that he's shooting the ball. What is going on with KD is strictly above the shoulders. It is not a lack of talent. We know that this guy is a phenomenal player. But right now, he needs Batman to return. He needs Superman to return because all the time I've said KD is the most dominant player on this team. I've said this team is more about KD. Those are my words. But now when you see in tough times right now when the team needs that superstar and KD to be the athlete that everyone thinks he is, he's not showing up. So I'm going to eat crow and say, no, you need it's Steph teams because Steph is the galvanizing point right now that everyone's hoping it can come back because Draymond, yeah, we said is the glue. But yeah, we've seen when Draymond's coming. Draymond doesn't have the scoring ability that Steph has. So no, it's not necessarily Draymond. It is Steph Curry's team, in my opinion, now because you see who everyone's wanting to come back. Steph Curry.
It had to happen. I mean, it's a natural evolution. What is born must inevitably die. Dearly beloved.
You funeralize yourself right there. No one's getting on you about it.
You know, it's all part of the cycle of life, Joe. It's the yin, the yang, the alpha, the omega, the genesis, and inevitably you do get to Revelation, Joe, and we've arrived at that point here today.
Thank you for being so honest.
Oh, my God.
Rest in peace.
Did that just happen? Did you guys just use something I just said right now?
I don't think anyone here did anything but you. You went on some long monologue, and it was very good.
It was great.
Very insightful. I was enraptured by it.
I laughed, I cried.
But the more I listened to it, as you were like, I gotta eat crow, I just thought to myself, that sounds like a funeral. I wasn't planning for it.
Oh, the crow?
That's I didn't bring my black suit.
The crow was like, that sounded like a funeral.
Eating crow equals cloak casket.
The way it actually started was when you were I said it, what I was saying from the beginning, I was like, here we go. Somehow it's all about him. And then when you ate crow, it's like, sounds like a funeral.
Was it a good enough rant that he does not warrant
crows
a slap?
Crows don't eat the urn.
Yeah, no one's getting casket slapped here. It was a nice, honest monologue in which we say a nice few words like Dibs did. Came out, said some nice words about it, and we let it rest in peace and we move on.
I even cited the good book for you just to make
Genesis,
it feel a little bit more authentic.
Genesis and Revelations. It was
nice. Thank you. The Alpha, the Omega, the Yin, the Yang. Da-da.
Thanks, Cody.
Anyhow.
Thanks,
Mark and Marin, welcome to the funeral. Mark and Marin, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
I feel so honored to do the eulogy.
Mark, you too? You're going to pile on too? You're not invited to my funeral, by the way.
I see Steph coming back. I see MVP chance. I see KD. You know, see you wouldn't want to be it, baby. Come on. Let's join the game. I'd love to see KD go to L.A. Could you see KD and LeBron coalescing, coming together? Not at all. They would tear each other down throughout the season. It would be beautiful.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you for weighing in. Let's not tee up that conversation just yet.
And if Steph doesn't come through with the MVP mark, we're going to have to cue up the funeral for you.
Yes.
So please stay tuned for future days. In case you hear the gong, you'll know it's coming your way.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning and welcome to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. This is your 7 o'clock hour. 1 hour from now at 8 o'clock, we will be joined by Jerry Rice for our weekly Monday conversation. In addition, tonight at 5:15 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, we will carry the game of the year between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, our Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet is very simple. Who you got in Monday Night Football? Do you have the Rams? Do you have the Chiefs? Hit up the website, 957thegame.com, and let us know. Woo! I wanted to throw this out there before we jump back into the Warriors conversation. We got an awesome tweet this weekend. I'm not going to read the kid's name because he said he didn't want us to really out him because he's in what appears to be high school. And him and a friend are giving a presentation at the front of the class. And another student is secretly filming it so the teacher can't see it. So we don't necessarily want to out these people to get them in trouble. But they end the presentation with what, Dibs?
With an uptick. You have to see it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's just like the last 10 seconds. It looks like a good presentation.
The class
is into it. Yeah. And then the kids both in sequence together, they uptick and the class just cracks up.
With an arm sweep, if I'm not mistaken.
No way.
Really impressive. I'll show you at the break.
We're going to show you at the break. And if you guys are listening and you know who you are, we'll put you on. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. You can join the program. We want to give you the proper shout out, but we don't want to say your name in case your teacher's listening, because they even said in the tweet, you know, try not to make a big deal that we wanted you to see it, but we don't want to get in trouble. Naturally, Dibs immediately retweets it for the world to see.
It's Twitter's a public domain. Kids have to know early on that what you put out in social media is attached to you forever. I tell my kids and my kids' friends about the things that some of them are tweeting, whether or not it's like these high school kids, pictures of them and a bunch of stacks of money. What are you doing, kid? Or pictures with their middle finger flying.
All right, Stalin. Calm down. They upticked. They shot a video. They sent it to us. It's supposed to be a good moment.
It's a wonderful moment, and I took an opportunity to teach these youngsters about the permanence of social media. Thank you.
Dimps is crazy, man.
Now you know what it was like in Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Well,
not a lot of upticks.
Trying to go outside, you're like, hey, the sun's shining, gunfire, and, you know, World War II. Welcome to World War II.
You couldn't uptick in East Berlin. You couldn't in the West.